not only to our graduates, but all of us tonight. That is our primary purpose, to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my prayer earlier was that God would receive all the glory from this night. Everything that we do is for His glory. And tonight, we are so thrilled to have with us Brother and Sister Dornbach and their family all the way from Liberty, Missouri. Would you welcome them? So thankful that they are able to be here tonight. They have had a busy weekend already, but we're excited to have them in St. Louis to minister to us and to these graduates. Brother Dornbach currently serves as the senior pastor of the Refuge Church, a church that has grown tremendously under his and Sister Dornbach's leadership. He also serves on the North American Missions Committee in Missouri District, and he has ministered all across our state in various capacities. In fact, I first heard him at a Missouri Men's Conference session. This was several years ago, and in that session, he talked about the importance of our consistency in our walk with God. And I'll never forget the illustration you made because you compared consistency to the St. Louis Cardinals, which I was in complete agreement with. You can tell it stuck with me. And not only that illustration, but the content of that word stuck with me. I'm so thankful for that day and thankful for that word. And I'm confident tonight that he has come with a word from God, not just for these graduates, but I believe he's going to minister to the church body tonight if you will receive it. He's going to come and minister in just a moment. But as he does, as he comes, would you just stretch your hand towards Brother Dornbach tonight? We want a word from God. That's what we're here for. So why don't we ask God's blessing and covering. Lord, we're praying for your strength and your covering tonight over your man. Lord, we're asking in Jesus' name, use him as he ministers to us tonight, to the entire church body and to these graduates specifically. We want to hear and receive a word. We're thankful it's already anointed. So we're asking that you would anoint our ears to hear it and our hearts to receive it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, would you welcome Brother Gary Dornbach as he comes and ministers tonight.
So I distinctly remember speaking that, and I remember asking if the session was being recorded, and they assured me it wasn't, because I never wanted that information to get out of that room. And I know you think, because I live by Kansas City, that I cheer for the Royals, which I do, but first and foremost, I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and so we have a AAA club that they let play in the pros. So I just try and always turn the conversation to football because Packers do better than Brewers. But, well, bless the Lord. You may be seated. And I am so grateful. Speakers are supposed to say that, but I truly am grateful to be here, to stand in this pulpit, in this church. When I moved here, I got to know Brother Williford, serving as district secretary, district superintendent. And they offer classes on church planting and gifts of the Spirit and all these different things. But if they offered, I think they need to offer a course on this, operating and living in the fruit of the Spirit. And Brother Williford should teach that class. Because you think about love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Did I not just describe Brother Williford? Did I not? And so, matter of fact, if somebody said, hey man, you know, as you step into ministry, as you grow, he is absolutely one of the people I would love to be exactly like. And that's probably the biggest compliment I can offer someone. And so your great church here, your reputation goes before you, because I know it's not just great leadership, but it's a great church. Every year in North American Missions, we celebrate. We don't know where we'd be without this church and your consistent, constant, sacrificial giving. It makes a difference in really not only in Missouri, but across the world. And so just know that if you're sitting in these pews and worshiping in this church, that you have incredible leadership in Brother and Sister Williford, wherever she is, Brother and Sister Williford, Brother and Sister Levine, Brother and Sister Reaver, Brother and Sister DeLong, I mean, you guys, it's unfair. Okay? Can I just say it's unfair, the quality of leadership that you have, but I rejoice with you. And so that's why for me it's an honor to be here. And so I want to start by showing just a few slides. And I'm glad that I get to celebrate with the graduates. Next May, I'll be finishing graduating from UGST. I have 2 bachelor's degrees, but I am going to be done at UGST. So I'll be right there with you. So you guys are ahead of the game. You're celebrating. I know we have the graduates here and then college graduates I saw scattered around. But I want to look at a few slides, if we could. Let's take a look at a few slides. Let's look at this first slide. Slide number 1. Anyone know who this person is here? Is it coming up or no? Hit it again. I made a weird PowerPoint, so just keep hitting it. Is it coming up? So that's slide number 1. This is a blank slide that, there you go. Media, it's one of those things, and it's not even their fault. It's one of those things that it's like it's this beautiful blessing in churches, but then when you really need it to work, it's this thing that you're just like, oh, you know? Is it just not coming up? Hey, well, that'll work for now. Okay, so anybody know who this is? It's President Bill Clinton, and you might, I don't know if you can tell very well, it doesn't take up the whole screen, but you might be able to see that picture on the left is just before January 1993. And unfortunately, this was our president, and unfortunately his morals weren't as high as they should have been for the highest office in our nation. But this is a picture just before January 1993, and I've always heard that being a president takes a toll on the man in office. And it's very true because you look at the picture on the right, and that was his last term as president. And you see the wrinkles and the difference in hair color, and this is what happened to the president. But look at one more president. Look at the next one. This is President George W. Bush. And that's a picture of Mr. Bush on the left, your left, just before taking office in January of 2001. And then you look at the picture on the right and the pressures of 9/11, the war in Iraq, winning another election bid for a second term, Hurricane Katrina, worries about atomic weapons in Korea and life in general. They took a toll on our president. Presidents are not the only thing that changed over the course of 10 years, though, because I want to show you a slide of even how sports changed over 10 years. On your right, that was the 80s, and you look at that and say, how in the world could anybody wear something like that? But then you move to the 90s, and it became this overgrown, baggy style of basketball player. And so you saw that picture, and today it's kind of gotten away back from the baggy, and even, I mean, like in high school, when I was in high, I graduated in 1999. And if someone would have wore tight clothing as a guy, oh, we would have gotten all over them and tore them apart for doing that. And now here, 2017, I'm wearing a slim fit suit, and I would have slapped myself back in high school. Okay? But move on. Let's look at another one. How much things have changed. How many of you still have a flip phone? Anyone? Yes! Hold it up! Look at that. This is awesome. Who needs a smartphone, right? It is a flip phone. We got how many holders? We had 1, 2, there was at least 3 or 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We had at least 4 or 5, 5, 6. Got a flip phone. That's awesome. But then you move forward and you go about a decade down the road, and now what do we got? Next slide. No, that wasn't right. He went two slides. It's okay. It's all right. I'll just show you what we got now. There you go. You got the iPhone where you can do great things and also get yourself into trouble. But yeah, the cat's out of the bag. Let's go ahead and look at that picture now. A lot can change in 10 years. A lot can change in 10 years. And let me say, brother, for the better. A lot can change in 10 years because he wasn't always our youth pastor, sectional youth rep, distinguished man of God, so eloquent, welcoming graduates. And he looked like he was a little crazy at times. Okay, so all I'm saying is a lot can change. And tonight I want to speak on this topic that I think is really relevant for all of us, but especially to graduates. And it's this topic, this title, 10 years from now. 10 years from now. And changes take place. They're not just physical changes. How many of you have experienced physical changes over the last 10 years? Some people don't have their hands up. My hair is a little bit thinner than it was. I used to be a bodybuilder. I gave it up for pastoring. No, I'm just kidding. Changes in the way someone dresses or changes in technology. You buy a computer today, man, that thing's awesome. 10 years from now, you're way behind the times, especially if you buy a PC. I'm Apple-stolic, right? But there's changes in sports over 10 years. I mean, look what can happen just in 10 years. I mean, even the Cubs can win the Super Bowl, or World Series, I'm sorry. Even the Cubs can win the World. Is that too soon? Did I go there too soon? I needed to wait a while. I'll come back in a decade and preach it again. Changes, though, also take place on the inside. The way someone thinks or the way their heart is, it changes over time. Look in the Bible at the stories of the first king of Israel is who? Saul. And compare that to the story of the second king of Israel named David. Didn't God not anoint both to be the king? 1 Samuel 9:15, the Lord told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I'm going to send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be the captain over my people of Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people. Their cry is great unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man who I spake to thee of, this is the same, shall reign over my people. So Saul is called by God, anointed by God to be the king. But then you go to 1 Samuel 16:11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. They both were anointed by the man of God for a purpose to lead God's people. God clearly anointed them both. They both were leaders. But you know what happened? You want to know what happened? They both changed as the years went by. The problem is one of them went further away from God and one of them went toward God. And guess what? They both made mistakes too. It's not like one just had it easy or one got lucky or, you know, there was predestination. No, 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 no. They both made mistakes. David made some huge mistakes, committing adultery, having someone's husband killed. I mean, on our worst day, I think the majority of us can say, I'm a sinner behind that bed. But he made mistakes, and Saul made a lot of mistakes too. But one ends up finding a place of repentance, and the other one ends up going to a witch. What happened? Both anointed by God. Both called by God for a purpose. David went toward, Saul went away. But they both changed. So what does God want from you? Is change a bad thing? Of course not. It's a natural part of everyday life. Things will change. Styles will change. Personalities even evolve. Your job will change. So many things will change. It's normal. And some of you are graduating or have graduated. And high school graduates, your life is going to change. College graduates, your life is going to change. Some of you may even be going from junior to senior high school. You're about to experience a change. Some of you may be taking a driving test this summer and your parents are interceding in prayer. Your life's going to change, and so are theirs, and so is their insurance too. Some of you college graduates have begun the process of trying to put together that professional resume and trying to garner interviews and thinking and jumping online and reading about interview questions to be prepared for. Some of you might be getting ready to retire. You're listening to all these youngins talk about all these stresses, and you're like, you ain't seen nothing yet. Well, you know what? Your life's getting ready to change too. Change is natural. It's natural today. The thing to always remember is we have a choice how we will change. When you look back at the year 2027, 2027, 10 years from now, and you look back to this graduation ceremony tonight in this service, will you be more like David and say, man, I began a trek that took me closer to God than I've ever been? Or will you be like Saul that says, I don't even know how I got this far? You look at even the life of Samson. Samson's mom couldn't have any kids, but the Lord blesses her and says, I'm going to give you a child. And she gives birth to Samson. And the Lord wanted certain things from Samson, such as not cutting his hair, not touching strong drink. But you look at the very, very first thing the Bible records that Samson does after his birth. Judges 14:1, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, hey, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. I hope something got lost in translation into King James English, because if I talk to my parents like that, my parents still was old-fashioned. They believed in spare not the rod, spoil the child. I got whooped a time or two. But I say something about this because he knew what he was to do. But what did he do? He instantly goes and does something he knew he was not supposed to do by going to the woman of a sinful nation of God and saying, I want that. Let me digress for a moment. I don't think, to my knowledge, especially you high school graduates, you ain't married yet. Okay? If you are, congratulations, great. But the greater decision than where you're going to go to school and what your major is going to be, which might change. They say the average changes like 6 times. Hopefully that's not you. If it's not you, if it is you, it's not the end of the world. You'll find a new one. And sometimes you don't even work in what you graduated in anyway, but that's fine. You just serve God and you'll find out. I was going to be a dentist and switched to be in radio broadcasting, and I ended up as a pastor, so I guess I'm kind of using what I went to school for. But here's the thing. The most important decision you're going to make is not where you go to school or what your degree is. It's outside of serving God. It's who you marry. You're going to make decisions that your spouse is either going to team up with you in ministry and you're going to go further than you ever could have dreamed together, or he or she is going to pull you down and take you off track. So much of what you do is built up in that choice of who will I allow myself to love and make a decision to spend the rest of my life with? Who is serving God? And ladies, if a man can't remain faithful to God, he ain't going to be faithful to you. You need to find yourself someone that says, you know what? I'm going to serve God with all my heart, mind, life, soul, strength, and spirit. The problem with Samson is that his parents made a commitment to the Lord for Samson's life. But Samson never made a commitment for his own life. But remember, change, it doesn't happen overnight. See, the devil knows that there are certain things you will never do at first. But if he can just get you to try, taste, if he can just get you to do one thing, go one place, lie on one resume, listen to one song, take one puff of one joint, go to one improper internet site, just do one thing, one time. He knows that if he can get you to taste something, that a process of Saul's demise can be begun. And so, you may not realize the way sin works, but once you taste sin, the level of sin will not satisfy you for an extended period of time. Because eventually, if you taste a little, it has to be elevated in order to enjoy the sin on the next level. And that's why, if we're not careful, will we make mistakes? Absolutely. But if we're not careful, if we don't find a place of repentance that says, my God, I need you just like David did, we wake up one day and we look back over 10 years and we say, man, I remember I was sitting in a graduation service. It was a lot different than it was right now. Something changed for me and I don't even know when it happened, because you can't always pinpoint it. It's usually not just one thing. It's a series of decisions over a period of time. Why? Because the journey of 1,000 miles truly does begin with one step. And if you hear these words come out of your mouth, it's not a big deal. How many of you parents or grandparents have ever heard your children or grandchildren say, it's not a big deal, Dad. It's not a big deal, Mom. It's not a big deal, Grandpa. If you ever hear those words leave your lips, stop and say, oh, Lord, help me. It's not a big deal, because you got to take a step back, catch your breath, and really decide if you mean that. Because Scripture says in Galatians 5, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and leaven represents sin in the Bible. A little bit of sin, a little bit of not a big deal can really mess you up. That's also why Paul gives us this advice in Romans 13:12. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And you look even at these people, you talk about change, you talk about over 10 years, you talk about something that shifts in someone's life. Look at Demas, Colossians 4:14. Bible says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Paul's letter is to the Colossians, and he tells them the people who are with him. And he commends Demas, and he says he's with them, and they're working hard for the Lord. You look at Philemon in 23 and 24, he says, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, Christ Jesus. It says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. He's talking about, these guys are working with me. They're on my team. We are going to town for Jesus Christ. We're changing the world. We're making a difference. But of course, if you know, you read on and you imagine, I mean, just imagine some of the things you would have saw working with Paul. I mean, just like, this guy was incredible. Planting churches, wisdom, miracles, just everything he's doing. The things you would have seen and experienced just would have been mind-blowing to us. Demas saw these things. But 2 Timothy 4, verse 9 says, Paul writes this letter to Timothy and he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He said, for Demas, he forsook me, having loved this present world. And he departed. Only Luke and Mark, they're only ones with me. He tells us not only he left, but the reason he left. Why? Because he He got consumed by the things of the world. And in this day and age, as a college graduate, as a high school graduate, eighth grade graduate, whatever that is, you're walking into zones of your life where there's going to be a pull on you to conform. To conform to the place of business, conform to the way of thinking in the college atmosphere, to conform to the way things are viewed in the dorm room, to conform to those things. In the present world is always going to be there. And here's the thing. Some of you, I know you're sitting here and you're saying, but I've heard this. I got good leadership. We've heard this. It would never happen to me. Take heed. Take heed, lest you fall. Take heed, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, greater, much greater men and women than me and you have fallen. Much greater than you and I have fallen. And so we have to say, God, what can I do to set myself up? Where 10 years from now, I'm not going to be the same person. I'm going to be more on fire for you than I've ever been. I pray this prayer to God a lot. I say, Lord, please love me enough to not let me stay the same. Jesus, please love me enough to not allow me to stay the same. I prayed, oh, Pastor, Gary, I mean, do you really struggle with things? Are you on the verge of backsliding? Are you on the verge of losing your marriage? Not at all. But I pray to God that 10 years from now, I can do a good enough job, Brother Williford, say, hey, come on back here. And I'm 36 now, and I come back as a 46-year-old. But I pray to God that I stand here and say, man, so much has changed in the last 10 years. God's taught me things. He's developed some things in me that weren't there the last time I was there. My family's seen some things that we never, I pray to God that 10 years from now, God does that for me and my family. Think about when you read a good book. You read chapter one. You don't say, hey, I'm done. That was awesome. Or, man, that ended horrible. I'm done with that book. You don't end there. It's the first chapter of a whole entire story. We are all writing a book. And right now, you might be about 6 chapters in, but guess what? You might have 18 chapters left. And the first 6 might not have been what you wanted them to be, but guess what? You're still writing. You got a whole entire book left to write. The first 6 chapters might have been amazing about God's grace and the youth group and all these trips you went on and missions trips, but I got to remain faithful. I got to remain faithful. And so we say, well, what will I do? I'll tell you this, where you are now is important, but it's not going to matter so much in the end. We celebrate with you. We congratulate with you on what you've done. It's a wonderful accomplishment. No one's meant to belittle. I'm not meaning to belittle in any way graduating from high school or from college. But my question tonight is, where will you go from this moment? Where will you go from right here? Because doing great can turn into sin with one decision. And then what happens is we look back and say, man, how did I fall this far? But even if you're saying I'm on the fence, I've never been really a powerhouse, a strong Christian for God. Nobody's ever viewed me like that. One decision at one altar can say, hey, for the rest of my life, God's got this. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to minister. I'm going to do anything God calls me to do. You see, one decision turns sin to a testimony, but so I ask you, what's it gonna be? I'm speaking to graduates predominantly, but there's so many of us who didn't graduate, we're just here tonight. We're here to support the graduates. 10 years from now, you're gonna be someone else too. We're all going to be something 10 years from now. And I remember when Brother Anthony Mangan said something to one time, he said, backsliding begins when you stop moving forward. I just don't want to be the same person that I am right now 10 years from now. I would make the argument that we're all going to change over the next 10 years. What are you going to be? Well, I'm planning on being a nurse. Well, I'm hoping to be a teacher. Well, I'm hoping to want God will use me in ministry. No, I'm not talking about what are you going to be in for a job. I'm talking about who you are. Who are you going to be? I definitely don't think that when they began to pour anointing oil, Samuel, on Saul, Saul did not say, man, I'm pumped because one day I'm going to step into the kingdom. I'm going to lead God's people into some victories, but then ultimately I'm going to fail. I'm going to walk away from God. I'm going to go see a witch to try and view the future. Nobody does this. Saul didn't do that. But there's some things that he didn't set that said, this is a safeguard in my life. This is a commitment that's not up for discussion. There's some things that I'm going to be in the presence of God. I'm going to have a man of God in my life. I'm going to have someone that speaks to me that I submit myself to. That no matter where I go, I know even though I'm king, I still need spiritual authority in my life. And I'm going to listen to that person. And I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to find a place of repentance. Every single one of us is embarking on a journey. 10 years from now, you and I will be different. Some of you will have bought a new car. Some of these graduates are like, man, I can't wait. Some of the college graduates are like, now that I got a real job, I'm going to buy me this. Might have bought a few cars. You may have had your heart broken by a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you just knew you were going to marry. Worked multiple jobs. Some of you 10 years from now, you're going to be leaders in this very church. You might leave this church with Brother Williford's blessing and go serve on some leadership team and make a difference for the kingdom. Those of you under 16 are going to be the ones who determine the spiritual climate of this youth group. These other ones are going to leave and you're going to step up and you're going to be the ones in a youth service. For me personally, this past November, my wife and I celebrated our 10-year anniversary. And we have an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old as of next Sunday who is miraculously still in the service. I preached in Maryland Heights this morning, and I was praying with a lady who desired to be filled with the Spirit, and my wife was playing the keyboard, and so I had my son, and that's tough, okay? It's very tough. So I set him down, and I prayed with this lady for a while. And I looked down, and he did not grab me. He did not cry. He literally stood right there for that long of a period of time. That was probably one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life. Okay, Lord can open blind eyes and heal the sick and do that. Was miraculous. But we've been pastoring in Liberty now for almost 8 years. And I look back over these last 10 years of my life where I've been married and have 3 kids. And 10 years ago, Friday night looked way different than it does right now. I promise you, I never was going to be the guy driving a minivan. I'm driving a minivan. 10 years changes things. And you look back and you say, wow, pastoring for 8 years, 3 kids, a wife. But I've lost people close to me too. My wife, we lost our first child due to miscarriage. If you would have told me that I was going to bury my father at the age of 30, I would have said, never. Never. But a lot changes over 10 years. Some that you plan for. Some of you say, I'm going to be a teacher, and you're going to be a great teacher. I'm going to be a minister. You're going to be a powerful minister. I'm going to be a nurse. Hey, you're going to love people and do an amazing job as a nurse. Some things are planned. But then other stuff happens. It's just not planned. You lose people. You go through things. You struggle with things. You encounter life. And you're going to find this 10 years from now. My point is, life changes and so does your walk with God. I'm bringing this to a close right now, but your life changes and so will your walk with God. If you continue on, think about this. If you continue on the path that your life is on right now, where will you be 10 years from now? Because if you begin to think of that and that makes you nervous or uncomfortable and you say, I just don't know, then something needs to change tonight. Something needs to be done at an altar where I lay some things down and say, my God, I want to leave here tonight knowing that 10 years from now I'm going to be more on fire for you than I've ever been before. I don't want to leave the most important thing in my life up in the air and up in smoke and say, well, I'm just going to hope for the best and we'll see what happens and I'm going to enjoy the journey like the world speaks to us. I'm not here to just enjoy the journey. I'm here to make my calling and election sure. I am here, you know what, along the way, I pray to God that I become the nurse I want to be, the teacher I want to be, the minister I want to be, all these things. But you know what? If something is going to cost me my soul along the way, then God change the course of my path, Jesus. Father, I pray, God. Because you know what? Statistics would point to this fact. And this is a sad reality in our day. But 10 years from now, not every one of the graduates will still be serving Jesus. My God. Let that be said of us tonight that we say, oh, no, no, no. You might find that somewhere else, but not in this church. Not here. We got 7 people graduating who are committed to Jesus. We got 7 people graduating who ain't going to be blown around with every wind of doctrine. We got 7 people graduating where it doesn't matter if they're staying local or they're going away, that they have committed in their heart and their mind, I am serving Jesus. I don't care what statistics say. I don't care what they say in the world. I don't care what you've seen in other churches. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Whether I'm in college, whether I'm a college graduate, a high school graduate, I don't care what the statistics say. I am a person of faith. And no matter what this world tosses at me, no matter what I struggle with, no matter what changes come over 10 years, I promise you this, preacher, you're going to come back here in 10 years and you're going to find me either sitting right here worshiping God on this pew, or you're going to find me serving in ministry in some other church where I'm faithful, where I'm given to the kingdom. Let's stand to our feet right now. Let's just raise our hands to him. I know I just challenged you a little bit. I know that, and maybe I didn't encourage you as much as I'd like, but I know I feel something where I want to be able to come back here in 10 years and see some graduates who I got the opportunity to address, some graduates who I got to preach to, that you know what, that you can say, hey, 10 years from now, you could walk up and shake my hand if you remember it was me. I don't care. But you could say, you know what? I remember that I was challenged 10 years ago. I remember that someone preached to me and said, you know what? I'm not gonna waver. I'm not gonna compromise. I don't care what happens. I don't care where I go. I refuse to compromise. Oh, folks, come on. Let's just for a moment, can we just find a place at an altar? I know there's another part to this service, but I'm inviting you right now, especially these graduates, I'm inviting you to respond right now, to come up here and just find a place where you say, you know what, I got to make some commitments. I got to reaffirm some things in my life. I got to raise my hands and say, Jesus, my God, I want you to know this isn't just about my past. This is about my future. This isn't just about where I've been. This is about where I'm going. And folks, if you love love these people. Get in around them. Just get in here and just grab them by the hand. Put your hand on their shoulder and begin to pray over them. Begin to say, Lord, I pray for these people. I pray for these young people who are getting ready to go into this world in a way where, Lord, they haven't been. It's about to change here just a little bit. It's about to change here. But God, I just pray whether they're a high school graduate, a college graduate. I know I'm not preaching to just a bunch of introductory Christians here, but Father, greater men and women than us have fallen. So Jesus, we want to make sure that we're making some commitments here tonight that are saying, God, I'm with you for the long term, no matter where this world takes me, no matter where this job or this degree takes me. Jesus, I want you to know I'm committed to you, Lord, that I will be with you through thick and through thin. I will lean on you. You will be the one. I will trust you in all my ways. I will not lean on my own understanding. I will acknowledge you in every part of my life because I'm trusting you to direct my path, oh God. 10 years from now, we're going to see a group of Christians that are changing the world, not just through nursing, not just through teaching, but through ministry, through Bible studies, through altar worship and altar praying, through people who are out preaching and teaching, missionaries. We're going to see people who are world changers, not just in their profession. Use them in their profession, though, Lord, I pray. But let it be said that every person 10 years from now is more on fire for you than they were this night. They're more committed to you than they were on this night, Jesus. Almighty God, Almighty God. We're going to change. We're all going to change, but let us change for the better. Saul walked away. David walked toward. I want to be a David, Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.